Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 8. The scripture text is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. And it says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor." Well, we are all members of one body, Ephesians 4:25, and the title is called Rigorous Honesty. My history of trying to do something about my eating was that I ignored it. I thought that it was, or I should say I was in denial about my eating. Part of that denial was aided and abetted by other people around me who were overeaters. The biggest thing that I would overeat on was sweets, like candy and flowery stuff, you know, anything like that I would overeat, but so did everybody around me. And when I was growing up, not just in my household, but people even in my neighborhood where I live, we had a very close-knit neighborhood, and people would have candy bowls. You know, you would go into somebody's house and they would have a little bowl of candy, and you just put your little hand in it and stick it, you know, in there, and I would call it popping food. We were always in the process of popping food. And I actually, it did not even become a problem to me until I reached puberty. And when I reached puberty, then I had what I thought was just a weight problem. You know, that my weight was, I couldn't control my weight. But I didn't even see the eating that got my weight out of control to begin with. And I did not understand that the eating was opening the door to a lot of things that were not right. Because at that point, I was using food for lots of things, for comfort, for strength, all the things that I should have been turning to the Lord for. I was turning to food. Also, at that stage, I did not really know the Lord as a Savior. I knew him by name, and I knew him, you know, being a churchgoer, but I did not really understand salvation. It was not anything that was even talked about a lot in my church. It wasn't, but every once in a while, I would hear people in my neighborhood use that word, saved. Are you saved? I didn't understand really what they meant. What do you mean if I'm saved? That doesn't mean anything. So that part of my life was on one part, and then like church court, I went to church. But in the food thing, I had decided that the first time I tried to do something about it was to go on a diet. You know, I went on a diet. And I did. I lost weight, but always I knew in the back of my mind, I could not wait to get back to what I would call my goodies. I call them, you know, I got to get back to, the goodies. And, you know, since that time, I have come to the understanding that I cannot give names like that to something that destroyed me in the past, you know. It would be like if, you know, lo and behold, if I had someone who was abusive to me, you know, and I would have a little sweet name for them, you know, sugar pie or somebody like that. Nah, you don't call, you know, anything like that. And the same thing I had to find out about the food, that the food, certain foods and certain way of eating was not right for me. And I was sneaky when it came to the food eventually. And that kind of, I put down, I was making a little comic, and what came, these are things that came to my mind, you know, that non-abstinent eating at this point in my life would be sneaky and shameful, because that was the way it went with me. I hid, I lied, I justified, and it was shameful. No, I don't want that in my life. I know of Jesus, so that means that I don't live in guilt and shame and lies. That is emptiness for me. I am a new creation in Christ. That old way has passed away, and a new way has come. I am a citizen of heaven, of the Most High God and King. The Bible tells me in Philippians 3:20, but I am citizens in heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and I am eagerly awaiting for him to return to be my Savior. And so like this verse reminds me, I learn truth, I speak truth, I live truth. I want that because by doing those things, it becomes more than just head knowledge, it is life knowledge. That's why the Bible says in 8:31 and 32, in John 8:31 and 32, it says, if you abide in my word, then you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set me free. You know, I am so grateful that God has given me both the ability to see and also the strength to resist that which is not of him. And so when temptation appears, I must cling tightly to his hands. You know, I want to call on him, you know, when I can feel that old rebellious trying to get back into my life. Or like I said, that shame. When I do something wrong, I can, with God's help, own up to what I have done wrong. And it takes prayer sometimes to do that. I mean, not sometimes, a lot of times it takes prayer for me. If I have been rough in my speaking to someone, or if I have not done what I said I was going to do, you know, or if I have done what I said I was not going to do, I want to, you know, pray and God will help me. You know, this is a lot of why I did not even want to have a sponsor, because I did not have that honesty and that clarity to see that the food, what I was doing with the food, I was hiding, I was in denial about it. But like we say at the beginning of the meeting, we do want to have a food sponsor, one that we can be honest with and speak to them. And those who have long-term abstinence, you know, those of us who have gone through it, we know, please. We know how the temptation can call to anyone. And so things that, you know, if you're a new in food recovery, when you do something shameful, pray for the willingness to come clean about it. I think about one of the, you know, in the Bible, I always have to make sure I have a Bible nearby before I do this lately, because my I want to not say the wrong thing, but I think it's Psalm 32 is what I'm thinking about, but I'm turning to that now. But Psalm 32, and I'm pretty sure it is verses 3-5, but if you have your Bible, you can turn to that, and then I'll tell you if it was wrong. Yeah, it was. It's this Psalm 32 in this verse 3-5. It says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. I think one of the big things about food recovery, Christ-centered food recovery, is seeing the sin behind the eating. The sin behind the eating. You know, on a basic level, I could have seen if I had the honesty that the amount of food that I was eating, because my body couldn't even handle it. It could not handle it. It would hurt me. My stomach was actually hurt. Now, giving me warnings that, you know, you have had too much. This is more than you can handle. My elimination, my digestion told me that as well. No, 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 no. You know, this is too much. And the whole thing, too, about my energy level, I would eat it sometimes thinking that it would give me more energy, but in truth, it did just the opposite. I would feel, a lot of times, I would feel sleepy. You know how people talk about, they use that term, beached well, you know, like a beach, like a whale that gets too close to the beach and they end up getting stuck in there on that, you know, in that area they can't get out. And that was what the food did for me. I had eaten so much of it, I would eat so much of it that I would feel that way. And it's, you know, having had freedom from that for a while by God's grace, I prayerfully never want to lose my abstinence again. I practice not getting sloppy with my food. I don't know, because that's the beginning for me. It's like I've shared before. It's like cracking the doors, like you have a tiger in the middle of your living room, and the tiger is fine as long as I keep that door closed. But if I crack that door open just a little bit, eventually, you know, that tiger's going to push it open and chase me around that room. And that's the same thing about the temptation to go off of what God has called me to do. I prayerfully pray that I never do that again. I don't ever. He has given me a very clean, clear plan of what I need to do. And I don't need to even get anxious about that. You know, where the people who have taught me about my food, they use the term, you know, of squeak, use the term of, not squeak, but specking and flecking, they call it specking and flecking. That's the other extreme. You know, there's one extreme of sloppiness where, you know, it's not 4 ounces because I can't even see the scale. I'm standing too far away from it. Somebody would call it, they call it, you know, throwing your food on the scale across the room. You know, you don't want to see what the numbers say so you can get more food, you know, in it. Or sprinkling stuff on my food that is not even on my food plan. That's sloppiness. No, and I don't want to get sloppy. I call another thing, I call it with me walking around the rim of the toilet. I did that a lot before, you know, I had this abstinence I have had now. But it was hard knocks. that showed me, it was a binge, you know, I was only so much that a person, I believe, can walk around that rim, you know, with that sloppiness. And it won't be very long that, boom, that it will move from being sloppy to a full-out binge. I mean, it'll be very clear in their mind. And that, I know, like I said, from my own life, and I have been around enough in rooms of food recovery to see it happen with other people. And so, yeah, I prayerfully, one day at a time, keep it squeaky clean for Jesus. Not squeaky clean so that I can sashay myself around in pride, because that's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. My citizenship is in heaven. And no, pride is not a part of that. What is a part of it is serving God. I want to serve Him out of gratitude for the rescue that He has brought about in my life. So, yes, I want to be rigorous in keeping my abstinence clean for Jesus' sake. I want to be rigorous, not sashaying it around and telling people how much abstinence I got and how many pounds I've left, how many years I've kept off. No, that's not the way for me. I don't want to, like I said, beat the dust. And even today, you know, in the book of Proverbs with that whole thing about that pride business, that pride, again, is another way to open the door. Another way to open the door to the bottom of dropping out. And so I even wrote in my journaling Bible today, Father, convict me of prideful thoughts and behavior, and to strengthen me to see them and to reject them. That is not what I am about, and that is not, you know, that is not your way. That whole thing of that type of pridefulness is that whole superiority. You know, that is, I even looked up the word pride again today to help hammer it in. You know, and pride is conceit. It says conceit in one's superiority. And that is, no, it's one supreme, and that is the Lord Himself. And He is not, he doesn't need a twin. That He needs workers, and especially those who are teachable. And I pray to be a teachable worker today for the Lord, and not to be about lying. Let me pray. Father, I want to keep my food clean today prayerfully for Jesus' sake. I do want to be in the best position to be of the best help to you and to others. Strengthen me, Lord, strengthen me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen and amen.